Ahava, blessings. Welcome to this episode of Embodying the Shehinah. This podcast is here to support us, to guide us during these times of accelerating ascension energies, to remember, to embody, to integrate our soul essence. My name is Aria. I am an ordained Magdalen priestess, a Reiki master, energy and sound alchemist. And in this episode, we are going to talk all about the full moon in Aries that is happening on the 6th of October, 7th of October in the early morning Central European time, but on the 6th, 8:57 Pacific Standard Time, 11:57 Eastern Standard Time, and on the 7th Central European time, 5:57 in the morning. This moon, as I'm recording this, the energy is palpable, it is potent, it is a very strong energy of Mars, of momentum, of forward movement, of decision and action. It is happening at 14 degrees, so the sun is at 14 degrees of Libra, the moon is at 14 degrees of Aries, and 14 is the number 5. The number 5 is a number that is ruled by the planet Mars. The Sefirot that it corresponds to is Gevura, and Gevura is the second Sefirot that corresponds to the throat chakra. So on the right side, you have Hesed, loving kindness. On the left side, you have Gevura, which is judgment. And it is not judgment, harsh, severe judgment, as we tend to think of judgment. It is more judgment that has to do with discernment, discerning whether a course of action, whether a path is adequate and in alignment for you and your soul's growth and expansion, or if it's not. It's not about the external judgment. And I know that as a humanity, we have the tendency to be very, some of us, not all, very judgmental and externalize that judgment. But what often happens with judgment is that whatever we judge outside of us is a reflection of what is going on within. So there is a very interesting interaction between that which we see outside and judge harshly and ourselves, and that is something to be very mindful of, particularly as this moon is in Aries, and Aries is about action. So we might have the tendency to take our judgment and direct it outwardly, as opposed to allowing whatever comes up to inform our decision making and our process within. Because everything we see outside is a reflection of what's going on inside. And as we're speaking about inside, let's speak about your body, because the number 5 has to do with the physical body. It has to do with the 5 senses. It has to do with the 5 elements: earth, water, air, fire, ether. And it has to do with taking care of our body. It has to do with freedom, independence, self-mastery, and knowing what you want, being clear about what you want and going for it. It is a sun number that is aligned with the divine masculine, and in its shadow, because we always should be aware of the shadow aspect, not to focus on it, but to be aware and to allow ourselves to catch ourselves when we're going into that shadow. The shadow of this number 5 is tyranny. It is control. It is manipulation. It is thinking. So rather than mastering yourself, thinking that you have the power over your external world. And this is what we're going to get into with this moon. This moon is about the ego versus the I am. It is about self-mastery or external control. What are we choosing? Why is it about this? This moon, so this opposition between the sun and the moon is forming a square with the Jupiter that's in Cancer. Jupiter is about expansion, abundance, fruitfulness, multiplication, because Jupiter is the planet of blessings. And it is in a square, which means it's in a contentious energy with the Aries and the Sun, because the Aries Libra energy, it is an energy of the I versus the we. It is an energy of ego versus altruism. It is an energy of the egoism that allows you to be so hyper-focused on yourself and your needs that you use that to devalue cooperation. You use it to devalue relationships, partnership. You use it to manipulate. And this is something we have to be very careful of. Because we are in this Aquarian age, we are in this anchoring the fifth dimensional light grid, anchoring the higher dimensions. It's very important to be aware that what we see, what we think we're aligning to, might not be what we actually think it is. Because look, we have Mercury that's in a conjunction with Mars for this moon, which means that the shadow of Mars can color our perception of how we interpret the world, how we intellectualize certain things that perhaps we should not be intellectualizing. Maybe we should be reaching, actually not maybe, we all should strive to coming back to the heart. And I mentioned that it's the ego versus the I am. The I am is the elevated ego. It is the ego that knows that it is in service to the soul and the divine. The ego that knows that it is part of the fabric of creation. It is part of the divine as it is a spark of the divine. And as a sparks of the divine energy, God, Goddess, Allah, whatever we call this energy, we can choose to utilize our energy, our creation spark, to enhance creation or to destroy it. We have that opportunity. And I'm not judging whatever people do, because that's not my role. It's not anyone's role, to be honest. What I am sharing are the energies that are at play. So let's be mindful. I know that certain things, we have the tendency as a humanity to make things about us when they aren't. We have a tendency to not be introspective and to always be combative and always be looking for something that's going to hurt us. Why? Because we've been hurt before. We've had this experience with this kind of person before, so we're automatically in this cycle, in this circle, that will replay this scenario unless we liberate ourselves from that ego trap. If we do not choose to elevate our consciousness, to elevate our way of thinking, being, doing, expressing, and align it with something beyond us, we are going to remain in living in this dualistic perspective, in this us versus them, in this dog eat dog world. We're going to continue perpetuating duality, and then we're going to wonder why things are not happening, why we're not manifesting. It's because whatever we focus on is what we seed and what we attract. So the key to breaking free is to become aware of what is it that triggers us. Become aware of what is it that is going on, what energies are happening around us, and how are those energies interacting with our own. And depending on where this fits in your natal chart, obviously you will feel this moon stronger or not. The other thing I want to mention, which is something really beautiful, we have a trine between Venus and Aquarius, and Pluto and Aquarius and Uranus, which is an energy, Venus in that mix, because of course Uranus and Pluto is death, rebirth, transformation. Uranus is deep awakening. It is innovation. It is being the rebel with a cause. Let's remember that. Venus lends the energy to this powerful trine of harmony, of ease, of flow, of alignment with creation energy, of alignment with love, with beauty, with grace. So we have the opportunity to take the energies of deep and profound change and transformation, radical awakening. Many people are awakening and seeing that something is not kosher, now something is just not right in this world, and we're seeing more and more proof of it. We can choose to stick our head in the sand and be an ostrich about it, and things are going to change, but they're not going to change to our liking because we're not actively participating and co-creating in what needs to be birthed. However, if you take the energies that are flowing and you're aware of them and understand them, then we can move forward in a very powerful way. This is a very powerful moon for innovation. It is a very powerful moon for leadership, for more importantly, when it comes to leadership, because with leadership, we bring in the energy of self-mastery. We bring in the energy of understanding that we are conscious co-creators if we align with the divine. If we understand that it's not about us, it is not about what our intellect can do, because as I've mentioned before, and I will say it again because it's so relevant, your ego, your mind can only birth, create, and seed based on what it already knows. Which means if there are programs, if there are patterns, if there are limitations and karmas, if there's viruses running about in the software of your brain, I should say the hardware of your brain, but you get what I'm saying. If there's stuff and gunk, you're going to be creating with that. And we don't want to create more of the stuff that we are not happy with, that just doesn't feel like it fits anymore. We're tired, aren't we? Aren't we tired of going through the same cycle and not advancing? Aren't we tired of seeing all of this chaos around us, of experiencing chaos and not knowing what to do about it? This moon can illuminate us. This moon can give us the wherewithal, the understanding, the clarity to move forward powerfully in a way that is in alignment with your soul, with your purpose, with your divine essence. This is about soul mission versus ego-led desires. Your soul mission is a mission that is gifted to you. It is a gift from the divine, as you are a spark of the divine, constantly in this communication, this elevation, this wanting to seek the divine and see it within you. When we can see the divine within us, we can see the divine in everything and everyone around us. We stop the nonsense and the chatter and the bullshit and the blame and the shame and the guilt. And we know when we catch ourselves to be kind, to be merciful to ourselves, because it's not easy to break patterns. It's not easy to be the one that is on the front lines, seeing all this nonsense unfolding and sometimes not knowing what to do about it and then taking action, because then all of a sudden we do know what to do about it, but then feeling that, you know, sometimes we're taking two steps back in order to take three steps forward, you know, it's very frustrating. So in order to not fall into this frustration that this Mars energy can give us, it's important to align with your soul. It's important to align with the divine. Your soul mission is something that is gifted to you. And it is quite beautiful because we have Venus in Virgo that's in a sextile with Jupiter. So we have the energy of expansion and that beautiful Venus energy coming in of creation. And of course, then we have the oppositions, which is Venus with Saturn, Venus with Neptune, Venus with the North Node. So our mission, our soul, our tasks, what we must do that's in alignment with the soul, all of that is, there's a desire to bring harmony because we want the ease and we want the flow, but sometimes we don't want to do the hard work. We don't want to do the heavy lifting. We don't want to do the meditations and we don't want to, you know, take the action. but we're actually being pushed in the direction of taking action that is in alignment with your soul, of understanding that there is a difference between a soul mission, a desire that is placed in by the divine consciousness, by the divine God, goddess, whatever we call it, and there's the egoic desires. There's the desire that is because we want to compare ourselves to other people. We want to be better than someone else, or we want to compete with X, Y, and Z. Or because, you know, our social media algorithm decides that, oh, you know, we need to push, you know, plastic surgery. I don't know, some nonsense. But whatever, there's the desires that get implanted in us that are not true desires. And then there are desires that you know are part of your soul mission and will lead to your expansion. How do we align with that soul desire and know the difference? Well, we learn the difference through learning how to be in your heart, learning how to be in stillness, learning how to be comfortable with you, learning how to accept and rejoice and nurture all of those parts of yourselves, because we all have parts of ourselves that we want to relegate and put in a closet, put in a corner, put in a timeout, pretend they're not there. We all have those qualities within us that we don't particularly like, that have been shamed in us or guilted. We've been punished for them. Yet when those qualities are elevated in the light of the Creator, Creatrix, in the light of the Divine, those qualities guide us into deeper awareness, deeper embodiment, deeper fulfillment of our soul mission. So by coming into the heart, by learning what's your energy, what's not your energy, by doing your clearing and your meditations and doing what you need to do as a spiritual practice, what you need to do to grow, to expand, to evolve, all of these things help contribute to you not learning the difference between an ego-led desire and a desire of the soul. Desires of the soul are whispers. They're not something that is about you. They're not about comparison. They're not about keeping up with the Joneses. A soul desire is a desire that is deep. It's a desire that you know might even break you. And yet you're willing to step off and jump into the abyss, knowing that you will be held, knowing you will be protected, knowing that you are stepping into the unknown and, in essence, rebirthing yourself. You are rebirthing yourself into a different level, aspect, expansion of your soul through that going for that desire. That soul-led desire breaks you open. It catalyzes a deep and profound transformation. And I'm feeling the energy of that, because that's what I myself am going through. Because I had to ask myself, when it came to this particular desire that I will divulge soon, I was wondering, is this about me? Is this about me? Is this about me feeling dissatisfied with my life? Is this about me wanting to do what other people do? What is this desire about? And I came to the realization that the desire that I held in my heart was truly a desire of my soul. It was not a desire of my ego. It wasn't a desire of me comparing myself to whatever. It was a desire of my soul. And I knew that when I step forward with this desire, I have to have absolute faith and absolute trust that I am held and I am protected. And that is scary AF. It is the scariest thing you will do, to go forward with a soul desire, with a desire that goes against the grain of your family, of your everything, your religious, perhaps your religious background. It's a desire. That's how you know it's a desire of the soul. because it's not about conformity. That desire is not about you, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, or you proving something to someone else, or proving to your mother or father or whatever. It's not about that. It's about you shining and elevating and truly revealing the light that you are, that light of creation that flows through you. It's about you revealing another layer of it. And you will feel naked, and you will feel exposed, and you will feel all kinds of feelings. And all I will say is this: trust. This is why our relationship with the divine is the first relationship we must work on. Because it's not about you. It's not about me. Whatever flows through me is not about me. It's about, what am I delivering? How am I revealing the light through my words? How am I revealing more light through my actions, through my interactions, through my being? How am I blessing the world as I am blessed? And knowing you're blessed, that's another aspect. Knowing that you are blessed and having that gratitude, knowing that nothing that you do, you've done by yourself. Everything that we do at every moment is not just us. It is us, it is our ancestors, it is the divine, it is the earth, it is the cosmos, it is a co-creation in a very real aspect. This is why the harmony between Aries and Libra, harmonizing that polarity, that is the key to mastery of the self. Because you know that it's not about you, but it's also not entirely about completely giving and giving and giving and being selfless. It's that harmony. We're selfless and we are still ourselves, because we are here to express the light of the divine through the filter of our being, the filter of our body, our incarnation, through the filter of elevating all that we are and have been and will be through the light of the divine. And I speak of the light of the divine because this is what Libra energy is. Libra energy is the light. Libra is an energy of harmony, of balance, of purity, of spiritual beauty. It is an energy of creation. It is an energy of understanding that it is the ethers, the energy that is up there, that we are bringing down, embodying, and sharing, birthing through us. And the energy of Aries is that energy of the warrior of light. The energy of Aries is the energy of leadership, and particularly leadership over yourself. You cannot lead anyone if you do not master yourself. If you are not a master of your own stuff, how can you lead anyone else? You can't. If you don't understand that it's not about you, this is exactly why monarchies have not worked. Monarchies, since we speak of the I, let's speak of the royal we, which is the king and the queen. Monarchies, in their primary essence, were to lead the people into light, to lead the people in goodness, in grace, in charity, in beauty, in expansion, in embodiment. This was the original purpose of monarchies. It was to be of service to the divine and in turn to the people. This is why oftentimes the king, queen were also priests and priestesses, because they were leaders not just of the physical realm but of the spiritual realm. Which means they had to be doing their work, they had to be doing their purification. And yet nowadays, we know that everything is distorted. We know that a king is, or a president, is not always, or a prime minister is not always, or ministress, whatever the feminine is. They're not always in alignment with the light. Oftentimes they are corrupted by power, they are corrupted by money, they are corrupted by influence, they are corrupted by the earthly and mundane, and they have lost their connection to the divine. And that brings us back to the ego versus the soul mission. You know you are in the ego when you are disconnected from the divine, when you are constantly comparing yourself to everything and everyone around you. and you want the biggest house and you want to show off and it's about the peacock with its feathers out, that's when you know you're in the ego. And you have to be careful not to go to the extreme, which is humility, at the expense of yourself, wanting to disappear and not be seen at all. Again, it's that harmony of polarities. It is the balance. This is a profoundly powerful time. It is so powerful. And it is about the heart. The more you can be in the heart, the more you can discern what is the correct course of action and what is not. What is in alignment with the light and keeping your vibration intact, and what is dissuading you. What is pulling at you to try to pull the wool over your eyes. And it's okay to not know. It's okay to sometimes have been misguided. It's okay, because at any point in time, we don't always know the answers. So we must have faith and just continue to do our work to align with ourselves, our soul, to align with the light and the divine, and to not allow that. Anything that divides you, it's not the light. If it seeks to create division, polarity, duality, and allow you to basically be, well, I'm better than so-and-so, that's not the light. It's just not. Because the light, the soul, the divine, the higher realms know no duality. They know nothing of duality. They don't speak in duality. They don't channel in duality. They don't act in duality. They allow you to have free will, which is why so many of us, we've gone through it and we've sometimes made decisions we shouldn't have made. And again, we should have made them, because all of those have brought us to where we are now. And where we are now is exactly where we need to be. So celebrate and honor those parts of yourself that brought you here. Every one of those iterations of you is incredibly valuable. Every one of those is a step in the right direction, a step in awakening your consciousness. Let go of anger. So many of us think that we have to be in anger in order to make a change. We have to be, you know, picketing or fighting or something. I don't know. We have to be in this like battle in order to evolve. No. You do not need to be in battle, not with yourself, not with anything outside you, particularly not with anything outside of you. Because the more you play into that dualistic game, the more you are feeding the demon and the egregore that we have created, that has created this world of duality. And by created, I don't mean divinely created, I mean manifested. Every single one of us as a collective has contributed to the mess that we're in now. How do we fix it? We fix it by coming back to the heart. We fix it by transcending duality. We fix it by merging the polarity. We fix it through alignment, through choosing our vibration. We fix it through elevating our consciousness. We fix it through recognizing our own patterns and where we have been stuck, playing the same dualistic narrative in our heads and evolving beyond it. It is not about, you cannot say, and this is a particular experience for me, and it applies to everyone. We cannot honor, let's just say, our Native American ancestry or our, you know, whatever, Irish ancestry. We cannot honor any one part of our lineage without honoring all of it. None of us is exactly from the place we think we are from. I don't care how many DNA and whatchamacallits you've done. None of us know for sure where exactly this is. And if we are utilizing the information we obtain to create division and to sow more discord and to sow more duality and to basically say, well, my people are blah, blah, blah. No, you're doing it wrong. With my entire heart, I am saying you're doing it wrong. We employ information like that to elevate and to unite, to honor all parts of ourselves, not to say one part is better because it was oppressed. Every part of you, I'm sorry to break it to you, every part of you at some point in time or another has been oppressed. Every single one. There is no distinction. Every single one. So there is no utilizing a beautiful tool like, in this case, ancestry. It can be utilized to allow you to see how multifaceted and how beautiful all aspects and to bring together the different seemingly opposing parts of you into the beautiful tapestry that is you, or it can be used for you to basically fight with people and say, well, you know, I'm this, and think that in you creating that polarity and living in that duality, that somehow that is you honoring some aspect of your lineage. It's not. Honoring our lineage, and I mention this because this is one of the planets. The sun, yes. The sun is in the fourth house. The fourth house has to do with family and lineage. Family and lineage. That's the fourth house. All of the deep secrets are being activated with Mars, because Mars has a Scorpio energy to it, because Mars is the ancient ruler of Scorpio. There's a lot that is coming out in terms of family, and it doesn't mean that you have to be besties with your family. You do need to set boundaries. We all do. There are some people in our lives that are simply, we just can't. And it doesn't mean we don't love them. It doesn't mean we can't try to be civil. And it also means we must find that balancing act. We must find that harmony. We must honor them. Sometimes you need to honor them from a distance. And you do need to honor thy mother and thy father, which means we honor all parts of ourselves, we honor all parts of our lineage, because all parts of our lineage, all parts of your being are valid, whether it is the parts of you that was not a very good kid in school when you were, you know, a little one, or whether it's the part of you that was rebellious as a teenager, or the part of you that was a goody two-shoes, all of those parts, every single, and now you're a rebel. Now you're the rebel, because now you're the one that's talking and saying, nope, we're not doing that. All of those parts are equally valid. All of those parts of you deserve to be integrated fully into yourselves. When we are in separation, that is when the Shekhinah, the divine light, creation, the eminent presence of God is exiled from our lives, and we want to bring that energy of the divine back into our lives. And that is what I hope that you utilize this moon to do. Employ the energy of this moon to come into wholeness, to come into remembrance of the beauty and the magic that is you, to know that all parts of you are valid, all parts of you are creating a beautiful dance with the cosmos. It's a matter of, are we allowing this dance to lead us more into the light, or are we allowing that dance to lead us more into chaos and destruction? It is up to us. We have free will. We have the ability to transform whatever it is that we're going through. We have the ability to unify and unite all polarities within us. It is up to us. It is up to every single one of us to choose to take off the glasses, take off the veils, strip yourself bare of all that has shackled you into a certain mindset and a certain way of thinking, and allow yourself to rise, to be and do and express your soul, more of your light in this world, because this world needs your light. It needs the light of the divine that courses through you. It needs you. This world needs more of us being channels and vessels for divine frequencies, blowing and birthing and anchoring into this world. And this is what this ascension, this is what this time on this earth is about. It's not about creating more duality. It's not about us versus them. It's not about pointing the finger and thinking we're better than someone else. It's not about comparing ourselves. It's about taking full responsibility for who you are, all aspects of it, and allowing yourself to take all of that, integrate it, and rise. All of it. master yourself, master your emotions. And by emotional mastery, I mean understanding where they come from, because your emotions are the barometer for what it is that needs to be healed and expressed in your life. What is it that needs your attention? It's not about hiding our emotions. It's not about guilt tripping ourselves. It's not about shaming ourselves. It's about integration. It is about embodiment. It is about taking all of those parts of our being, every single part, and lovingly bringing ourselves back into the remembrance of our wholeness, our oneness with our soul, our oneness with the divine, our oneness with the earth and the cosmos. Everything is interconnected. This is this moon. We can leader ourselves into destruction, or we can leader ourselves into expansion, embodiment, and integration, and into light. It's up to us. This is your time. Enjoy the sound activation. Have a blessed, blessed moon. You still have some time, so whatever clearing we need to do, take the time to do the clearing, and take the time to align. This is the time for you. This is the time for you to truly take stock of where you are and lovingly guide yourself into deeper alignment, deeper oneness, deeper integration, deeper wholeness. It's a powerful moon. I am wishing you a blessed, blessed full moon, a wonderful Shabbat, and enjoy your weekend. And I will be at my temple space back home early part of next week, so stay tuned for a video then. And do feel free to follow me on social media. You can find me at Aurea Lara and at Embodying the Shekhinah on Instagram and on YouTube at Aurea Lara. We're gonna have a sound activation, and right now it's a little bit on the fence as to whether it's on Thursday the 5th of November or on Tuesday the 11th. I do need to be somewhere that week, and it's very important that I am that first week, so I'm hoping that we do it on the 11th. If you are interested in working with me, I have a wonderful, and I can't express this enough, I'm so excited about this course. It is a self-guided course aside from our ceremony that we will have in person on the 11th, and you don't have to be live. You can watch the ceremony on the replay on the 11th, and it is the Wheel of Fire, and we are going to go through the days of creation together, and we're going to learn how to work with the energies of each day so that we can manifest our soul's desires, plural, in a more activated, embodied, conscious, and powerful way. So it is called the Wheel of Fire course, activating, manifesting, and creating with the days of creation. So you can see that linked below, as well as the link to sign up for the sound activation. I'm sending you all so much love. Have a blessed Shabbat, and I will see you in the next episode. Don't forget to tune in to the sound activation for this full moon. Have a blessed full moon. Ahava. Blessings.